Father Richard mentioned that next week is the beginning of our new liturgical year. I don't know about you, but I prefer to center my life on the liturgical year, the rhythm of the church's prayer, rather than the common calendar year. It has an advantage right off. I get to start my new year in joyful, wondrous anticipation of the birth of Jesus, Advent, instead of with a hangover and wondering where I left my car. In a sense, today's feast of Christ the King is a little like the year in review stories that we're all going to be deluged with after Christmas on TV and the radio and the internet. As our prayer year starts, looking forward in hope and joy to the birth of Jesus, we end our liturgical year reminding ourselves what this birth brings into the world. The completely enfleshed invitation for all of us to join in the inexhaustible life of God. This is central for us, the incarnation, God's love in flesh, giving us both the invitation, the call, and the model of how to respond to that call, how to live to the fullest, to live the truly abundant life, to live life in union with God. Father Richard's homily at the other masses this weekend centered on the title, Christ in Christ the King. He spoke about how we tend to think of it too narrowly. Christ is not a name. It's a title. If we forget that or minimize it, we limit our understanding. That homily, by the way, will be on the website later this afternoon. Give it a listen. It's worth it. So, Christ the King is two titles, not a name and a title like Bob the Builder or Joe the Plumber or Martha the Steward. Let's consider, then, the term king for a little bit. What's a king? Where do kings come from? One good answer is that kings, rulers, came to be in our early societies when certain individuals proved themselves to be strong, trustworthy, and sometimes even wise to such a degree that they were chosen by acclamation of the people to be the chief protector and organizer of the tribe or the village. A king is a shepherd with people as his flock. The origin of the job of king is not the wielding of power for personal gain or glory. It's based in unifying and protecting and guiding the people for the common good. Just as Jesus is the preeminent Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of God, so too he is the preeminent King, recovering for us the original meaning of the term. Just as Jesus is the invitation to and the model for our participation in the life of God, so too he is the invitation and the model for our participation in the unification and the protection of all we encounter in creation, relying not on physical might, but on the ultimate power of love and mercy. But in our human brokenness, we take power granted for the common good and distorted into exploitation and injustice. We see that in Luke's gospel today. There are, in this story you just heard, four sources of mocking and ridicule and scorn directed at Jesus on the cross. First, a group of the leaders present at the crucifixion mock him. Second, there is the sign that Pilate puts above his head. Third, there are the soldiers. And fourth, there is one of the thieves. All mocking him, all calling for him to respond to his suffering with a show of physical power. Save yourself and us. But Jesus is not into playing the distorted game of physical power and domination that the world has come to honor. He is making the power to deal out physical death no longer decisive. He is expanding the horizon of humanity into the infinite. He deals with his suffering by dispensing mercy. In the verse immediately following what we heard this morning, he says of his tormentors, "Father, forgive them." And to the thief who recognizes who he truly is, he says, "You will be with me." If we take the name of this feast, Christ the King, as merely a triumphalistic title for Jesus, we lose far too much of its meaning. One might even say we destroy its real meaning. Today is not about a triumph of might and strength in a way that the world thinks of it. And it is not only about Jesus, I want to suggest. Instead of Christ the King, this feast might be named, if it were only about Jesus, Jesus the Cataclysm. We hear words like catastrophe and cataclysm when something happens that has great destructive power. A catastrophe is an event that devastates. A cataclysm is something, usually from nature, that not only devastates, but does so with so much authority and finality that it changes the whole world and requires us to fundamentally change the way we view the world. A cataclysm changes the rules. And Jesus' life was cataclysmic to the false power of violence, exploitation, and physical death. As a result, we have to look at the world differently. We have in him the invitation and the model for doing as he did, trusting the divine so deeply and completely that our nature moves from self-protection and fear to self-giving and generative love. In this now, today, ending year of church prayer, have you found any new ways to follow the model of Christ the King more faithfully? I hope so. Do you have any New Year's resolutions to accept his invitation more fully in the coming year? I hope so.